What Brian was singing about this morning, what we're all singing about this morning, is a closer walk with Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. And when we're done walking on this earth with Jesus, we're never done walking with Jesus. If you're a child of God, you will always walk with your Savior. That's a promise. But here's the deal. When we end this life, when we're finished walking this life, here's what I would love to be able to say of myself, and here's what I'd love for you all to be able to say for your own selves, is that I was found faithful. That I was found faithful. We're going to start a little series this morning. It'll be about 3 or 4 messages. Still writing it out and seeing how this goes. But we're going to talk about something, probably a super unpopular, a super unpopular topic in church. We're going to talk about giving. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about finances. We're going to talk about generosity. We're going to talk about some of those things. And some of you guys have come from places and that's all that you've ever heard about, all they've ever talked about, and maybe you think that's all the church has ever talked about. Well, you've never been to Unity if you say that, because since I've been here, it's never been, we never speak of it. We never talk about that. But it was one of the things our Savior talked about a whole lot. And if I'm not faithful to this, if I'm not talking about this, then I'm not being faithful to what Scripture has to say. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. And I want you to keep in mind something as we go through this, that this isn't about something that God wants from you. This is about something that God wants for you. You hear me? See, in order for God to be able to give us what He wants to give us and do through us what He wants to do, listen, it doesn't matter if it's your money, it doesn't matter if it's your time, it doesn't matter if it's your heart, it has to be given to God in order for Him to do something with it. Okay? It's a voluntary thing. And God wants something for you, He wants to do something through you. In order for that to happen, you're going to have to be able to give these things I talked about, your heart, your time, your energy, even your finances to God, and turn those over to Him. And we're going to talk about like I said, our money and those kind of things. We're going to talk about our tithes and our offering. And when we talk about the Word of God, here's the deal. We want to obey the Word of God, but we just don't want to obey it in certain areas and the places where we choose. We want to obey it in every aspect, every part, every portion of our lives. That's so important. How many of you in here would say that God's way is the best way? Amen. Amen. That's good. Let's talk a bit, before we talk about God's way, let's talk about the world's way real fast. World's way is 92% of every dollar that's earned in America goes to paying debt. Hear that? 92% of every dollar that's earned in America goes to paying debt. The average household in America has $8,000 in credit card debt. Some of you guys are like, $8,000? That's not too bad. Credit card debt. Credit card debt. And if you pay the minimum payment on $8,000 in 37 years, you'll be finished paying for that $8,000. And at that time, you will pay $13,000 in interest. That's the world's way. And that's prison, folks, isn't it? That's prison. God has a much better way, amen? Thank goodness, right? He has a much, much better way. And I want to tell you that's taught very, very exact in Scripture. We're not going to go really, really in depth and in detail, but I want to talk about some principles real fast, and we're going to get into 1 Timothy. But there's 3 things that you and I that is taught in Scripture that you and I must do as to be found faithful when it comes to our finances. One of the things that we must do first is we have to give. The next thing we have to do is save. The next thing we have to do is spend. Okay? Those seem like pretty simple things, but the Bible tells us about giving. The Bible says that you and I, that we owe a tithe of God. And not that we really owe it. It's already actually God's. He already owns it. And what we're doing is we're giving back God this tithe. And a tithe means 10%. We're giving God back this tithe. And what we're doing when we give this to God is we are recognizing that all things come from Him. That He provides everything. And that's what we're doing when we give that. And so what we do is we give a 10%. That's kind of this is a thermometer of our relationship with God about how we give and what we believe God can do. When we give this 10%, we don't just throw it up in the air. We don't just burn it in a fire. We bring it to our local New Testament church, and it goes to doing the ministry and doing the work of the kingdom of God. The next thing that's taught in Scripture is about saving. Saving, you and I, if we don't have a plan for our money, guess what? It spends itself. It spends itself. Sometimes if we can tell our money where to go, it's a lot better than asking where it went. Can you guys ever do that? You don't tell it where to go. Like, where did it go? Yeah, you have to ask it where it went. There are some things that we can look at. I'm going to read this scripture to you. here this morning. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, if you want to look down and read that, he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." And this, what this is telling us right here is that you and I should, this is how we should view wealth. We can worship with our wealth, but we cannot worship wealth. You understand? And what the difference is our wealth can never be number one. It can never be above God. It can never be the thing that we seek out before that we seek God. You know, Dave Ramsey is a popular guy, and some of you guys might think he's the first guy to come up with the idea of emergency fund. He's not. He's not. Go back to Genesis and you can find where God commanded Joseph and told Joseph to go and tell the Pharaoh and said, put back these things because there's a famine coming. There's bad times coming. Put these things back because it's not always going to be like this. And in the world's way, sometimes we talk about saving for a rainy day. God's way says, hey, save for when it doesn't rain. Save for when things aren't coming down. Things for when things aren't good. Be prepared. Have a plan. Proverbs 21:20, I'll just read this to you. It says, "There is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." Fools spend all they have. That's what the Bible says. Fools spend all they have, and the wise, it saves and it plans. The third thing, spending. Once again, we can spend money. And here's the way that we got to think about it. Sometimes we're thinking about, and I want to clarify this real quick. Tithing is not spending money. That's giving. Okay? And sometimes when we think about that, we think about how much of our money should go to God, but how we should be thinking about how much should I keep of God's money. That's really the attitude and the thought process that we need to have. But the Bible talks about, you know, and I don't want to use this in the wrong place, but Jesus is talking about discipleship. This also goes to good stewardship. He says, who would start to build something without first counting the cost? Who would go to build a tower, build something, and not think about how much it costs first so they wouldn't be fully built, it wouldn't be complete? And so he talks about stewardship and about planning and thinking ahead and seeing those different things. But here's the final thing that I want you to get from everything I just said is that one day you and I will stand before God and we'll have to give an account for everything, every single thing, for every idle word spoken, for everything that we've ever done. And here's the fact is I want to be found faithful. I do. I want to be found faithful. Is that you this morning? Do you want to be found faithful? In order to do this, there's something that we have to get straight in our mind. The only way I think we can do it is we have to live with the end in mind. You have to. There's no other way you can do that. If you live for today and today only, if you don't think about the future, if you don't think about eternity, if you don't think about your things of God, you won't be able to do it. And so we have to live with the end in mind. I want you to flip over one chapter to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is someone who I believe lived with the end in mind. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, a young pastor. And he's encouraging him to come. He's asking Timothy, will you come see me? And here's the deal though, what Paul's going through right now. Paul's in prison. Paul thinks that he's about to die. Paul's right. Paul's going to die. Paul's writing a letter to Timothy and he wants him to come see him, he wants him to come visit him and be with him. But Paul's encouraging him and he's telling him some things about life. He's giving him some final remarks, some things that you know, if you and I were laying on our deathbed and we want to make some sure some things have been said, this is what Paul's doing. He's saying those things right here. And he's going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He's going to say, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Everybody in here has played Monopoly, haven't they? If everybody hasn't, don't be embarrassed. Just raise your hand. I just want to know if you haven't played Monopoly. Everybody's played Monopoly. All right. Awesome. I used to play Monopoly, not very often, and the only reason why we didn't play Monopoly very often was because My dad was sadistic. He was terrible. He was a ruthless. He was a Donald Trump of the Monopoly table. He didn't care. He would bury you. He loved to watch a little kid cry more than he liked to watch anything in this world. My dad was ruthless on the Monopoly table. For every time he landed, give you no opportunity. He always liked to roll first. He would roll first, and he would buy everything he landed on. No opportunity, and he would just crush us kids. And you know what? When you're playing as a little kid, I was used to playing with my grandmother, playing. They would give you loans and stuff. Not dad. Not that he would shut that down. He wanted so bad to get you off the board, get you off the board fast. He loved so much to make a quick game and a fast game, and he loved it. I hated even just watching his eyes, watching his mind work about where I was going to land. And the safest place to be when you were playing Monopoly with Dad was in jail. It was. That was the best place. But there was one time where the dice was in my favor. I can only remember one time. I don't remember how old it was, but I remember one time landing on the right stuff, just getting the properties that I wanted to get. And I was busting up Dad's Monopoly. He wasn't able to get all the properties right in a row. And I remember getting this place where I started to nickel and dime him to death. Started to just take a little bit here and a little bit there. And I just watched his eyes kind of like, I could see it. He's already calculated. He's a smart man. He knew defeat was on its way. And there was a time around the board, and I had like Virginia Avenue, I think it was. Isn't that one of the red ones? It was Virginia Avenue, and I had houses. I hadn't got the hotels yet, but I had the houses up there. And he rolled that dice, and he landed right on that thing. And I remember just watching the last dollar come out, and his bankrupt is done. And this is what I was waiting for. I was waiting to see him cry. I was waiting to like bow to me and tell me how sorry he's been for all that he's ever done, and ask me for $50. But he didn't. He didn't do nothing like that. He smiled, said, "Good game, good job." And he threw the money over there, and he got up from the table, and he went and did something else while we finished the game. That bothered me. I wanted that sting a little bit more. But I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about that time, and I realized that Dad knew something at that age that I'm just now getting at this age. That when the game's over, after we've played it all, we've accumulated all we're going to accumulate, what happens at the end of this game? It all got to go back in the box, doesn't it? Every bit of it. The hotels, the properties, the railroad, the utility company, all that fake cash, all those things, they have to go back into the box. And in this world, it's the same way. Everything that we've accumulated, everything that we take, everything that we got, when this life is over, it all goes back in the box. It doesn't get to go with us. The only things that go with us, the only thing that transfers from here to heaven is our souls and the souls that are won to Christ. That's it. I want you to think about this because all the riches, any of the temporary pleasures, any of the things that you have here in this world, listen, this is the most powerful thing you'll ever hear today. Might as well be Monopoly money. Everything that you have might as well be Monopoly money. It's all got to go back. It can't go with you. It won't stay. Paul's going to teach us that in these verses that we're going to look at. He has a really good perspective. He's going to tell us how you need to look at things, how we need to gather perspective so you and I can live free of the prison that the world tries to put us in about caring about money and debt and all those different things. And the first thing that Paul tells us, first thing he shows us in this scripture that we've been reading is that we need to take a look around us. We need to take a look around us. We need to do an evaluation. I want you to see this when you look at verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be authored, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul says that have you ever met somebody that doesn't really know what's going on around them? You know what I'm talking about? People that just walk around in this world and have no idea what's going on. They don't seem like they have a firm grip on reality. They're the Gomer Piles. Anybody know the Gomer Piles? Holy! Huh? That guy? The guy's just bewildered and doesn't know what's going on or anything like that. Paul had a grip, though. Paul had a firm grip on reality. And what he says is, he says, "Right now I am ready to be offered." He says, "My life is short and it's coming to an end. I'm not going to be here forever." He has a firm picture of this. And then he uses the word departure. And that word departure right there in verse 6 actually means death. Death. He's like, my time of death is at hand. But he says departure. And when we say that word departure, it gives us an idea. We hear Peter talk about it. Paul understands this. But it would give us a picture of somebody living in a tent. That's something that the apostles really believed, that they was living in tents, like a temporary dwelling. Think about this. You've been camping. I don't care how many air mattress, what quality air mattress. I don't care what all you've got. I don't care if you're in a camper. You can live as luxuriously as you think that you want to for a week or 2 weeks or a month or however long. But isn't it good that you get to go home? Huh? Isn't it good when you just, it's nice to go somewhere, but isn't it nice when you get to go home? When you get to be settled? I'm telling you, listen, I've done it all over the place. I've camped all kinds of places. I got some of the coolest backpacking equipment you could ever get, the most comfortable you can ever be out there. But I'm telling you right now, there's times where when you're trying to sleep three in a three-man tent, and it's a backpacking tent, you've got feet in your face, and you've got things going on in that tent, I'm just telling you, it's nice. I don't care what, if you're in the most beautiful setting in the world, it's nice, finally, to sometimes put up that tent and to be able to go home. And this is what Paul says, is my departure is at hand. I get to get out of this tent, this temporary dwelling, and I get to go home. Paul says that he's saying that my time has come. I'm prepared to die. Are you prepared this morning? Just think about that. Are you prepared? Is your life on the trajectory that you think it should be on? Do you see yourself going a certain direction? Do you see it is where you're headed and where you will be? If you don't live with the end in mind, here's what I know: life just kind of rolls over you. This happens. But you have to live with the end in mind. There's something I learned one time, learned this from a group of guys, and they were talking about when you get lost in the wilderness, when people get lost in the wilderness, when they don't pick a point and they don't walk to it, so what you have to do, you have to have a goal, an end in mind, a place that you're walking to. But here's what happens when we don't do that. When you're out in the woods, you don't pick a point, you don't walk to it, what you end up doing is you end up going in circles. Don't matter how straight you think that you walk, they GPS those guys, and they watch them in the wilderness, and they'll walk in circles, and they'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think you guys have seen this. I think you guys know people in their lives that are walking in circles because they don't have a point. They don't have a goal. They don't have a destination. They don't have something that they're going towards. But you and I have to live like we know heaven is our end. That we're going to stand before Jesus. And there's people all over the world that walk in circles and they keep tripping up over the same things. And we keep seeing why do you keep going those circles? Why do you keep going those same patterns that keep bringing so much destruction and so much pain and so much sorrow? Why do you keep doing that? It's because they're not living with the end in mind. They don't have something that they're walking to. It's so important. Paul not only says that we need to look around us, but he also shows us here that we need to look backwards. I want you to see this because some of us like to paint our past a little bit too pretty, a lot prettier than it was. And some of us look back on our past and we don't see how blessed we are sometimes. We miss both of them. But Paul's got a firm grip here. In verse 7, he says, I fought a good fight. Paul sees this Christian life as a fight. He sees it as something like he's engaged in a battle. He sees himself as battling the enemy. Do you feel like you're in a fight? Because that would be a good gauge right now if you're living a Christian life. Or you feel like you're in a fight. Are you battling the enemy? Because I promise you here's something that I know. So if you've given your life to Christ and you're trying to live for God, the devil does not want you to succeed in that. And he is going to be on you. He's going to be on your back. And he's going to trouble you. And he's going to trouble you. And this Christian life, folks, I promise you, is going to feel like a fight. And this is what Paul says, it feels like a fight. He says, but I fought a good one. I've done a good one. He says, I have finished my course. And he sees life also not just like a fight, but he also sees it like a race. And it's not a sprint. It's not a sprint. It's not who can get there fastest. Evidently, right? It's not who can get there fastest. Because when we're saved, we're not just taking up into heaven, are we? We're still here on this earth. And why is that? Because there's a marathon to run. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And when you run a marathon, listen, there's some planning that has to go on. We can't just go all out and hit as hard as we have to think about where we're going to exert our energy, what's worth our time, what's important. We have to spend our energy there. Paul says there at the end, he says, I've kept the faith. That word kept, when you read that word kept is about management. It's about stewardship. Because I've been a good steward of my faith. I've kept it. I haven't wasted it. I haven't squandered it. He's closer to Christ. He's more like Christ. He has grown with God since he's been saved. He's kept that faith. And I want to ask the same of you. Since you've been saved, are you closer to God? Are you more spiritual? Are you more like Christ than you were when you first got saved? That's what Paul says he did these things. I fought a good fight. I ran a good race. I kept the faith. And Paul, not only he looks around, he looks behind himself, but right here he's going to look ahead. And I want you to see what he says. He says, henceforth. That means going forward. This is in verse 8. Going forward, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Now, this is an awesome promise. Paul says, I'm going to get a crown of righteousness. He says, but it's not me only. He says, to all them. That, listen, this could extend to us. The people that love his appearing. Paul is looking forward to standing before the Lord. Listen, I know people that dread that day. That dread that day to stand before the Lord and give an account for everything that they've ever done. But listen, Paul was looking forward to that day. He was looking forward to where he would stand before the Lord. And he said he'd receive a crown of righteousness. You know, in that day when he was talking about running a good race and talking about fighting a good fight, athletes in that day when they were crowned, when they were given something, they were given a wreath, like an olive wreath. An olive wreath, it would stand a little pretty on top of their heads at the time. But guess what happened? It was made of things from this earth, and just like everything in this earth, it fades. It gets old, it withers, it dies. Paul's looking forward to the thing that God would give him, because what God gives, listen, it never fades, it never dies, it never goes away. And Paul looked forward to that time when he'd stand before the Lord and he'd receive this crown of righteousness that would never fade, that would never go away. I found out something interesting when I was looking some things up about this message. There's a place in Spain, and I'm going to butcher the name, it's Valladolid, Spain. Maybe I didn't. I might have done really good right there. Look it up. Valladolid, Spain. There's a statue of Christopher Columbus there. And in that statue, there's a Latin phrase that says, ne plus ultra, which means no more beyond. And then what's really interesting about the statue is there's a lion at the base of the statue, and he's got his paw, and he's ripping at the word ne, which is pulling it off. And it's, instead of saying no more beyond, it says more beyond. Because what did Christopher Columbus do? He showed the world that there was more beyond. Where they thought the end of the world, where they thought things would end, he showed that there was more. There's a whole lot more out there. There's a lot more beyond. And I want to remind us this morning that that is exactly what you and I know this morning, that there's more beyond this life. That we have to live with the end in mind, that there's something beyond the horizon, something beyond death. It's past what we know here, and it extends into eternity. Paul knew that there would be a day that he'd stand before the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know that there would be a day that you're going to stand before the Lord? Each and every one of us. I want to remind you here that, listen, all the things that we gather, the home that you have now, the car that you own, your bedroom set, all the clothes that are in the closet, all the jewelry that you own, everything that you have, listen, when this world's over right here, all that goes back in the box. We don't get to keep it. It's not here forever. It goes back in. And I want to tell you that this morning, because if you get that, if you can grasp that this morning, that it all goes back in the box, that's going to allow you to live with freedom that you've never understood before. That's going to allow you to live, listen, all out for God, because you don't have to worry about accumulating. You don't have to worry about the stockpiling. You don't have to worry about putting things up for the next life, because God's got that taken care of. There's a saying that says that this life will soon be passed. Only the things that are done for the Lord will last. What is it that you're doing for the Lord? What are you doing that has eternal ramifications, that are not just temporary, that's not just monopoly money? What things have you done for God that will last in eternity? Have you given Him your heart? Have you given Him your heart? Have you trusted in the Lord for salvation? Because if you want that to pass to eternity and you want to stand on that side of eternity with the Lord Jesus, if you want to do what Brian sung at the beginning of this, just a closer walk with Thee, and you want that walk to extend into eternity, guess what you have to do? You have to give Him your heart now. That's good management of your soul right there, folks, giving it to the person who created it, I'm telling you. You want to be a good steward? You want to be a good manager of things? Give everything you have to the Lord. All your desire, all your ambition, all your heart. Give it to the Lord. I want you to stand this morning, please. Listen, wherever you're at, wherever your walk is right now, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, I know there's some challenging things about this morning. I know our desires are to play this life like it is a Monopoly game. To get everything we can get, because it all matters, and we've got to get what we can get, because if we don't, someone else is going to get it and they're going to be able to take from us. But I want you to know, no matter what happens, it all goes back. We don't get to take it with us. What have you put before the Lord this morning? What is it in your heart that stands supreme, that's more important to you than your walk with Christ? And this morning, I want to ask you, is there more beyond for you? I'm going to tell you right now, there is more beyond. There's only two options that we have. There's a hell that's waiting on those who have not accepted the forgiveness of God. And we get that forgiveness through Christ Jesus, accepting Him as our Savior. But for those who have accepted Him as our Savior, guess what we have? We get to stand and we get to live in the presence of Almighty God who created us, who loves us, who desires to be with us. And you can have that this morning if you give your heart to Jesus. And listen, it's not a magic formula. It's not a bunch of things that you have to do. Listen, it's about giving. It's about giving. It's about giving your heart to Him. Would you give your heart to Jesus this morning and say, I need to be saved. I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of salvation. And you can pray that prayer right where you are, and you can be saved. And if you're not sure about how to do that, you're not sure about what to say or what to pray, I want to encourage you to come forward this morning. I'm going to stand up here with my Bible, and I will show you in God's Word how you can be saved and know that you're eternally secure. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, this morning I thank You so much for making something better beyond for us. Father, help us live recklessly in this life. Help us live knowing that it all has to go back and the only things done for You are the only things that matter. Father, we get so caught up and so confused at times about what's important. We think our relationships are most important, and we think that our kids are most important, and our money is most important, our housing and everything. We just put all these things and they go above and beyond You, Father, and they should be torn down. And Father, I pray this moment we tear them down. We give these things to You and we realize that You are supreme, that You are ultimate, that You are worth giving our all to, that You are worth looking forward to. Father, I pray for that person in the service today that's not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that this morning they would give their life to the person, to the God who created them. Father, please have Your will and way in this time of invitations. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.